Okay, so wait, what is this thing you saw in Vegas?
So my mom and I went to this parody show for Harry Potter, and it's legitimately two guys running around stage doing the entire seven books in 70 minutes poorly.
What?
It looked like a low-budget like high school theater production, but it was a ridiculously good time.
Like the Supernatural episode where they go to the high school and they do the musical?
Yes, yes. And there was actually a song involved. The final battle was Harry and Voldemort singing I Will Survive.
I need this in my life.
It's a really good time.
This is what Cosplay the Musical would be.
Yes, but with more songs. Yes, because there were only like three major set pieces and all the props and costuming was as hokey as you would expect. And the audience got to play Quidditch, which was really like a glorified game of beach volleyball.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, please.
Can we get a beach volleyball for our panel?
Yes.
Good.
We'll also add that to our refrigerator.
Yes.
Because since episode one came out, we have had requests to make sure there is a legit refrigerator at the show so that people can bring offerings and sacrifices for the refrigerator.
I enjoy this concept a lot.
Now, please don't bring like live animals or things that are heavily perishable as offerings,
yes,
to the refrigerator.
Do not bring plants because I will kill them on accident.
No body parts. No, like, no.
No fluids.
No fluids.
No bodily fluids.
Please.
I mean, if you want to bring me, like, a sealed bottle of water, like, I'm down with that.
Bring us, like, cosplay supplies as your offering.
Ooh.
Or food.
We are eventually going to need to do a project that involves jewel tones, and we really wanted to get scraps from all of our friends for that. So if you have any jewel tone fabric scraps lying around, we'll totally take those preemptively.
The fridge will take your offers.
Yes.
And use them well.
It will.
I guess we should probably introduce ourselves.
Oh, yes.
I guess.
I'm Ashlyn.
I'm Elle.
We are Lobby Cosplay.
And this is Should Cosplayers Say.
Yep, that's the show.
That's the show.
So
that's what we do.
Say shit.
We say shit.
Good.
Yes.
Good, good.
So I guess it's probably time for an update.
Oh, yes. We have updates since the last time we spoke.
Even though this is after C2E2, we do have some C2E2 related updates. I did not get into Crown. So you will not see me on stage during Crown at C2E2.
Or you did not see her
or
on
you
stage
did not
at this point.
Well, and I had debated cutting everything out about Crown at one point in time since the episodes actually aired after I found out about it. But I kind of felt like it was important, specifically given the topic that we are going to talk about today, which is cosplay competitions, to leave it in there because you don't always win and you don't always get in.
And that's okay.
And that doesn't mean that your costume is terrible. It just means it wasn't right for that particular competition.
Yes, because just because something is quote unquote perfect for one contest doesn't mean that it's going to be perfect for another contest. We've had instances where we showed up to one convention and got a Judge's Choice Award, and then we took the exact same thing to a different convention and got Best in Show. So
that's actually happened twice.
Oh, it has happened twice.
It has happened twice.
I didn't even think of that.
With like a 5-year gap.
Yeah. A couple years in there.
Yeah.
It has
happened twice.
I didn't even think of that. You're absolutely right. That has happened to us more than once. So it's all about your audience and what else shows up that day.
Yeah. I mean, cosplay competitions in the end are, it's all based on who shows up. You're only being judged against the other competitors in the same contest. So something that wins at one competition may not do really well at another and vice versa, depending on who decides to come on that given day.
Well, and judging is subjective anyways, so it also depends on who your judges are, what their backgrounds are, what their experiences are, what the rules are for your particular contest, and how much weight is put in each category. I mean, there's so many variables. And you could, I mean, as long as you show up and do your best, you know that that's all that you can do, ultimately. But it's not necessarily about something that you did wrong versus maybe what somebody else did right.
Well, and we're going to go through a lot of that today because this whole episode is about why we do these horrible things to ourselves and enter cosplay competitions. Speaking of Reed Pop, why? Again.
Reed Pop, why?
So, I specifically said you aren't going to see me on stage during Crown because randomly, 3 weeks before C2E2, Reed Pop posts another cosplay competition.
Dun, dun, dun.
That requires craftsmanship, but the score is more highly based on performance.
Which, of course, as we told you, we are performers first and cosplayers second. So I think everything happens for a reason. And the reason why you didn't get into Crown is because this contest was going to happen.
A performance contest at a Comic-Con?
Surprise!
So, you may not know this, but Comic-Cons don't typically ever allow performances. Performances are largely an anime convention thing. So it is bizarre that out of nowhere, a Comic-Con decides to do a cosplay competition that requires a performance. I can't help myself.
Reed Pop, why?
Reed Pop, why? I just happen to have a solo performance that I wrote for Harley about a year ago that I didn't get to use, that I do have to cut down because, again, Reed Pop, why 90 seconds?
Oh, 90 seconds is so rough, even for people that have performed for years.
2 minutes is the sweet spot. Like, regardless of how many actors you have, 2 minutes is beautiful. And of course, if you're not a solo, you get 3 minutes.
Which is really silly, because I don't want to watch somebody go on for 3 minutes. Like, if you're going to have a group, maybe 2.5 at the most. But most people, if you're within that, like, 2 minutes to 2.5 minutes, it can be interesting. You can get your whole point across as far as your story goes, and it's still entertaining, and the audience doesn't get bored, which is important because it's a show.
But I feel like I can't not do this. So I am been desperately trying to get a 2 minute performance down to 90 seconds and still have it not suck, which has been terrible. I've had to redo my choreography. I have to redo my audio. I have to redo everything because I took 30 seconds out of this performance. I mean, I'm going to figure it out.
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
Yesterday you said tomorrow. So just do it.
Don't let your dreams be dreams. He was walking through the woods.
No! The other kerfluffle with this, essentially, is that the show's not till 4 p.m. on Sunday.
It's okay, we don't need sleep.
You can't even sign up until 10 a.m. the day of the contest.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, on the bright side, I guess, if for whatever reason they fill up before we get there, we don't have to stay till Chicago until 6 o'clock.
I guess.
It'll be what it'll be.
But again, Reed Pop, why 4 p.m. on Sunday?
Because that's when the room was available.
I'm pretty sure the con floor closes at like 5. Technically, the show goes from 4 to 6, so I don't know.
And they're just going to, what, usher you guys all outside at 5 o'clock?
The main stage isn't part of the show floor, though.
Mm.
So, like, the show floor closes at, like, 6 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, but there's still stuff till, like, 10 p.m.
So what you're saying is they're going to close the show floor at 5. So anybody that performs between 4 and 5, nothing is going to happen. And then everybody that performs after 5 will get seen by literally everyone because there's nothing else to do.
If there's anybody still left at the con at that point in time, because so far everyone that I've talked to is like, oh, wow, that's too late. I won't be there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's going to be an adventure that I'm sure we will all love to tell you about because we are going to try to squeeze in a recording for C2E2 right afterward.
Yep.
So that we can give you all the deets.
All the deets.
Within a timely fashion.
What's that?
Well, because although we love this whole like recording in advance thing because it's convenient for me and editing, sometimes it makes things a little less relevant.
Well, maybe we'll just record an episode at C2E2.
I mean, we'll have most of our equipment.
Well, you know. You were wondering what we were going to do Saturday after the floor closes.
Well, that's we don't understand Comic-Cons and the fact that, like, they don't go all day and all night long. So we're like, what do we do once the convention's closed?
I don't know.
I don't know. I guess you go to the bar parties.
I guess.
I don't know. I don't go to bars. I don't know how that works.
Well, they have a party and it's at a bar that's pretty much the end of the story.
Oh, is that it?
Yes.
That's all we need to know?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I know we have a lot of photo shoots, but that's all I know about C2E2. Because, of course, once I didn't get into Crown, all of our photographer friends want to shoot Harley.
That's because she's
and
pretty.
Ivy, whatever Ivy we end up putting together.
Yes.
Because I'm not in Crown now, so.
So now we have time.
Now we have time to do photo shoots. Yay.
That'll be fun.
And see friends. So, I mean, in the end, it's actually probably a good thing because I was going to be trapped all day Saturday.
Well, to be fair, that's pretty much any contest. You're trapped all day Saturday.
I would say that's probably one of the big reasons people ask us, like, why do you do this to yourself? Is that whenever you do a cosplay competition, you have to give up your entire Saturday.
Usually.
I have had very few masquerades where I have not had to give up my entire Saturday to do the competition.
I can think of, like, one.
That first time we did St. Louis. That's the only one I can think of. But typically, between getting judged, if you're performing, getting your performance reviewed, possibly doing a run-through, call, and then the actual show, you lose your entire Saturday.
Yep.
Typically from noon to, like, 10 p.m. In most cases.
In most cases.
I mean, I don't... ColossalCon wasn't too bad.
ColossalCon breaks it up, though, because you're... performance, rehearsal, skit review is in the morning. But then you're just kind of left with whatever time tech decides to actually show up versus when it's scheduled. And then you have to stay until you're done. So you go on and you perform. And if you're at the beginning of the show, you can get out in 15, 20 minutes. If you're at the end of the show, you might be there 2 hours. It just kind of depends.
They do a really nice job in breaking it up so you don't feel like you're trapped all day. You still can't really make plans to do something else.
Well, no.
Because, like, you have skit review in the morning, and then you have time to, like, go get lunch or whatever. But then you need to go get craftsmanship judged. Well, you're not going to want to get back out of whatever you just got into.
Unless you do judging on Friday.
Unless you do judging on Friday, which is a way to get some of your day back. And then you're going to go... for call, which luckily they only do call like an hour before, which is kind of nice. Some places, like this show for C2E2, is calling us at 2:30 when we actually don't go until 4.
Why?
Well, so what I have deduced from my contact with their lovely person from panel programming that is running this, who's been super duper helpful, we're gonna kind of get like drive-by judged backstage. So not like fully craftsmanship judged, but basically like a once over real quick by the judges, because the score is being primarily based on your performance.
Right.
But they want to make sure that like you made your costume, because making your own costume is a requirement.
And they won't be able to tell that just by looking at you on stage. They'll have to talk to you.
Right. And since the max number of entries is 60, they want to make sure that they have enough time for that like super speedy drive by judging.
That makes sense.
It makes sense. So the hard part is, though, because it's a brand new competition, if a lot of people don't enter, you could end up getting actually judged. So I feel like I have to bring a work in progress book in the event that not that many people enter and I get actually judged.
I mean, it's not going to hurt anything.
It's just I'm really bad with not knowing exactly how things are going to go.
This is Elle's anxiety coming through, if you hadn't noticed already.
It is. This competition's making me very anxious because there is no run through. I don't exactly know how some of these things are going to work. I don't know how many people are going to be in it. I don't know what the stage looks like, but I think it has a thrust.
There's going to be somewhere between 1 and 60 entries.
I'm aware of that.
Well, you said you didn't know how many people were going to be in it.
But I don't know what my space is like. That I'm choreographing in, and so I'm going to have to, you have to end up improvising a lot because there is no run through.
Yes. And they've never had this contest before, so you don't have past years to go back and look at. Like, whenever we look at some other performances from stages that we plan on using, either from set sizes or how much light you can see in the videos or people that we know that have gone before, we can get a general idea as far as how much room we are going to have so that we can plan our spaces accordingly. And sometimes, especially at conventions that do a lot of performances, they'll even have the stage measurements for you that they use on a regular basis, which is really nice. But in this case, there's just none of that information available because it hasn't happened yet.
I mean, I'm going to guess that whatever it looks like for Crown, it's going to look like for this. So I think there is a thrust, which is basically like having a short runway. But as you can probably hear the anxiety in my voice over this, it is probably making you go, like, why? Why do you, like, I feel like we need AA for competitive cosplay.
Oh, please.
Like,
hi, my name is Ashlyn, and I'm a competitive cosplayer. It has been 4 months and 3 days since my last competition. I'm just kidding.
I mean, not to make, like, light of AA, obviously, but with all the crazy that goes around this and all the stress, you almost feel like you need some kind of support group to get through this.
To be fair, don't we have cosplay Facebook groups that we are in that specifically are our version of AA for competitors and organizers?
That is basically what SheeProp is.
Yes, and the cosplay contest support group.
Cosplay contest support group is really good at being very supportive and helpful.
Yes.
For both new and old competitors. SheeProp's always been very supportive. It is a women and non-binary, basically, like, cosplay community. But it is important to have a support system when you are a competitive cosplayer, because it can get really stressful and you can get really down on yourself.
Absolutely.
Through this process. We've seen some extraordinarily talented people get really down on themselves when things don't go right. Because as you work through this process, you start to feel like you have to give more and more and more.
Right.
To continue to compete.
More and more and more bits of your soul?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, just checking.
So, in general, how this kind of works is cons will have a couple different options of competing. You can either compete in a craftsmanship type competition, a performance competition, or exhibition. So exhibition means you're not eligible for an award.
Right. But you still get to participate in the show.
Yes. So craftsmanship requirements can vary wildly depending on the convention. And different kinds of conventions and different kinds of competitions will have different requirements. Like, Crown requires 60% made by you. But then I've seen some conventions for the master's category requiring over 90%.
And we've been to some competitions where the overall percentage was as low as 25.
Yes. The one thing you want to remember about competing is read the rules.
If you take anything away from this episode, read the rules, because they are different for every contest.
Before you go online to the social media page of said convention or some random cosplay social media page, email the convention, because only the convention can answer your question legitimately.
It's true.
Because I have seen so many times where somebody will go on and be like, does anybody know if XYZ is allowed in such and such competition? And inevitably, your response is going to be, email the convention.
Right. Step one, read the rules. Step two, email the convention.
Because even from year to year, cosplay competitions will change their rules. Sometimes things will happen the year before that will cause a change. We used to help run masquerades in the past, and every year we had to make changes based on things that happened the year before.
Yes.
So you always want to check in, because there's a chance that the question that you have is being addressed by a rule update or can be easily answered by the convention cosplay coordinator.
Yes.
But some random attendee is not going to be able to answer your question appropriately.
Right.
So if you want to know, you've got to ask the right person. Craftsmanship is going to be the most common thing to enter in. Most cosplay competitions will have that type of an entry. You won't always see performance.
It's true. And you won't always see exhibition. Some competitions want to leave as much space as possible for people that are actually competing, so they won't allow exhibitions at all. Or if they do allow exhibitions, they are typically part of the halftime show while judging deliberations are going on.
Typically, you will see exhibitions at smaller conventions or smaller contests who are trying to fill their time.
Yes.
So a lot of times, exhibitions will only be allowed if they have a certain number of spots still open. That's pretty typical of that. But craftsmanship is based on what you made. What you made. Not what somebody else made. Not what you found at Goodwill. What you made. And that is probably one of the most confusing things that I've seen for new cosplayers is costume that you made yourself can be vague depending on your definition of it.
Yes, because some people might view going shopping and then styling a costume a certain way to be considered making it, or thrifting a costume, or altering a costume, taking an existing item and maybe adding a trim piece. Some people view that as making. You're going to have to check those rules, and you're going to have to check with your cosplay department heads to find out what their definition of made is. Typically, in our experience, it means that you made it from scratch. You took or created your own pattern and made it out of plastics, foam, fabrics, or anything in between. You made this out of essentially nothing. You took the raw materials and you turn it into something wearable.
Well, and that's a really good way to describe that. Because it's not that found and altered doesn't take its own type of talent. It does. Like, I've seen some really beautiful found and altered costume pieces. It's just not the same as having to make it from scratch.
Yes.
So it's really hard to judge something like that against something that had to be made from scratch.
And some contests have their own category.
Yes.
For that particular item. But it, again, it depends on the contest.
Yeah, it's kind of like the same issue as some contests will allow original designs or altered designs and others will not.
Right. Some will allow 100% original characters and others will not.
It just kind of depends on what their qualifications are going to be. Being someone who has been judging for a long time, because we've been judging for at least 5 years now and have judged over 30 contests. There's a big difference between judging something that was designed by the person who made it and judging something designed by somebody else, and then you having to make it off of that established design.
Yes, executing a design is different from building a design for yourself from scratch.
Both take a lot of work.
Yes.
Both take a lot of talent. So I'm not saying that one is easier than the other. They're just very difficult to judge against each other.
They take almost different types of skill.
Absolutely.
Some people don't necessarily like when you are doing categories like needlework or armor or special effects, etc., against each other, because those also take a variety of skill that are sometimes very different from one another. Same concept. If I was going to design a costume from scratch for myself, it would be very different from, say, something that I would pick from a character that I like. I'm probably going to fit something that I know is going to flatter my body shape. I'm going to pick something probably in a color that I know is going to flatter my skin tone. And then I can put in some extra elements that I know that I enjoy or that I'm good at doing, or perhaps some detail work that I think would look impressive, be flattering on myself. Whereas if I'm picking a character for a performance, we typically have the performance already planned out and the characters just kind of fall into place. I don't really get that. I get the option, but I don't necessarily have as many options as if I was going to do something 100% on my own.
Well, and we're not saying that you can't alter an existing design to fit your body, because you should.
Yes.
Especially if you are doing a performance.
Yes.
We always have to do that. That's not new. I have never been able to do anything straight. Beryl's probably the best example.
Beryl's a great example.
Beryl, who will post in the Instagram post, I should make a note. Of all the things we're going to post in the Instagram post. So Beryl is from Sailor Moon. She's the villain from the first season from Sailor Moon. When we did our Sailor Moon group for Daishokan, I got the wonderful opportunity to play Beryl. She's my favorite, so I was totally thrilled. But I, as we have discussed before, am very straight up and down. I don't have any curves. And Beryl wears a mermaid gown, which requires extensive amount of curves. So she's supposed to have a one-piece dress on, but in order for me to get the right shape, we actually had to do it in two pieces. So I actually have a corset that flares, and then a skirt. And a butt.
And a butt.
I have a silicone butt that I wear for Beryl to get the right shape.
Well, also from that series, when I did Nahalenea for that same set, I actually completely changed the shape of the bust. It's supposed to be a strapless dress with a floating cape, and the breasts itself are supposed to be like, they almost look like flower petals. They're weird and they're pointy and they are supposed to stand there on their own. And I was like, with my chest size and the weight of this gown, this just physically isn't going to work for me. So I altered the shape of the bust and I put straps on it, which was really convenient then for adding my cape. And all we did was we explained those choices. You can make any changes you want to, and typically your judges are going to understand those and not ding you, quote unquote, for accuracy, as long as you are able to explain the reasoning behind the choices that you made. Similarly, our Galaxia decided that instead of the particular style of boots that Galaxia normally wears, it would fit better with the aesthetic if she did gladiator shoes instead. And they looked fabulous. And everybody's like, wow, that was a great choice.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's purposeful, we have never had a judge have an issue. It just has to have a purpose. Well, and kind of going back to what you mentioned about crown divisions and different things of that nature. So for craftsmanship, typically not for performance, some cons will do this, but very few. For craftsmanship, there may be different divisions. Anime conventions typically have different divisions than Comic-Con. Typically, there's a couple different options. They will either do what Crown does, where you have types of craftsmanship. So needlework, armor, FX, etc. Or they will do genre. So like Gen Con does genres. Planet Funk Con does genres, which we will be doing a show at in June. They will do like best anime, best fantasy novel, best superhero, etc. Those categories are not split by craftsmanship ability. So brand new crafters are up against your very established crafters. People have different feelings about this. Is it good? Is it bad? I'm not really sure. A lot of people will say that it's not fair, or more so that it tends to make newer crafters feel like they can't enter. Now, Crown, you know, disregard Crown. Crown's juried. It's completely different ballgame from something like, you know, Planet Funk Con or Wizard Con, where anybody can enter. And the big complaint that I've heard is they don't feel like it's fair. Because you would assume the people with the more experience with the bigger fancy costumes are the ones who are going to be more likely to win. I say, eh. It's all about who shows up. Bring your A game. I mean, you know how it works to start with, so. If that's a concern of yours, then the anime convention format might be a better choice.
And typically those are going to be divided into skill divisions. Usually three. Sometimes I've seen just two, where your people that have either never entered a contest or never won an award before are going to be in like a novice or a beginner category. Then they're going to have a category somewhere in the middle, like an intermediate journeyman. And then you're going to have your master's class or your advanced class for people that have won several awards. Maybe they're industry professionals. Maybe they do commissions on the side. Or you can always bump yourself up a class. If you come in off the streets and you've never entered a contest before and you're like, you know, I don't feel like it's fair if I enter into a novice category because I've sewn for my whole life, or I may not have entered contests, but I've been cosplaying for a really long time. You always have the option to move up a category. You don't have the option to just move down because you feel like it.
Right. And again, the qualifications for these categories will vary drastically depending on what convention you are at. One of the best examples I can think of is there are some smaller cons that will say like three awards of any kind makes you masters. But then you go over and you look at Anime St. Louis, who follows the International Costuming Guild guidelines, and they want 9 awards for masters. So just because you get placed into, say, masters at one con does not necessarily mean you have to be masters at another. Because again, it's always best to ask the cosplay coordinator. Because if, let's say you win Best Masters at a con of 1,000 people and you want to go to Anime Central, which is a 30,000 person con, you should not enter in masters at Anime Central. Even it, let's say you went to a con that's like, you know, got like 10,000 people, but the masquerade tends to be predominantly novice and you got bumped up to masters. You still should probably not enter at masters at something like Anime Central, where the masters level is extremely high. So that's one of the hard things about some of these divisions, is they're not always well, what's the word I'm looking for? Balanced?
Balanced.
So novice will primarily, novice's cutoff will be one or two awards. Novice tends to be decently balanced. It will be your biggest category. And so typically for novice, judges are looking for, you know, is your fit pretty decent? Did you try to finish all your seams? Did you try to line your garments? You know, was your sewing looking pretty clean? Basics.
Basics.
But novice can be a very broad category because typically the requirement is 0 to 1 awards. Yes. Which means that someone who's been sewing for 20 years who's never competed could enter a novice.
Could.
And not be against the rules. So people have to keep that into consideration. Journeyman is probably the category that people stay in the shortest amount of time, depending on what type of cons they go to.
Yes, I would agree with your assessment.
So now journeyman, you know, most judges are going to expect the basics. But now we want to see you trying some new things. Trying new techniques, trying to go outside of the box, trying to do some more difficult things. And your master's people are just crazy.
Usually. That's pretty fair. I mean, I would agree with your assessment as far as the categories go. I know when I judge novice, I'm usually looking, like you said, for those clean lines. And did you try? Like 100% is, if I squint my eyes and I look at you, can I see exactly what your reference photo should look like? I want you to vaguely resemble, as far as color blocking and everything, what the character looks like. Obviously, we're going from 2D to 3D. And I want to see that you made the attempt to craft well. I don't want to see lots of, like you said, sloppy lines, unfinished seams, that sort of thing. Journeyman, like you said, I want to see that you tried something new. You got your basics down, but you need to kind of branch out of your comfort zone a little bit. And then, yes, master is crazy.
Well, and Masters has a similar issue to Novice. So you have Masters, and then you have what we like to lovingly refer to as Grandmaster, which are the Masters who have a stupid number of awards.
Wax on?
Wax off. One of the really hard parts is when you have some of these conventions where, like, the requirement for Masters is 3 awards, you could have somebody who has just 3 placement awards against someone who has 15 placement awards.
Yep.
And they're in the same category because the requirement for masters is so low.
Yep.
And I've even seen masters as low as 2 at some conventions that aren't even small.
Yeah, just depending.
Well, and part of the reasoning for that is typically you will not get a lot of people who enter in masters at most conventions. Now, that doesn't go for certain cons like Anime Central, who will fill their Masters division. Colossal Con had 13 last time we were there.
Wow.
And they actually require 6, I believe, to be in Masters. Something like that. And they had 13 entries, but they also offer $1,000 for craftsmanship and $1,000 for performance.
Technically, we won the craftsmanship one.
We won the best overall craftsmanship in 2018. We won $1,000.
It's true.
It was great. We threw them all over Paragon from Wiggly Cosplay. We threw our money all over him. It was great. It was good times.
It was good times.
It was great times. I miss them.
Soon. We'll get to see them soon.
Soon. But in most cases, you're not going to have that many masters. You might have like 4 or 5. In most situations.
In most situations, you're not going to fill your category now.
No. So typically, you're not going to run into that massive issue where you have someone with 3 awards versus like 15. But that's also kind of why we're really particular about where we enter now, because we feel bad when we entered some of these cons where the requirement is 3.
Yes.
So that's why we decided to go with Anime Central, because we know that the competition is steep. So we don't feel so bad having our, like, 8 awards or whatever it is.
Well, and you also have to remember that just because somebody has 15 awards and you only have 3 awards, maybe they took the same costume to 4 different conventions and got 4 separate awards, because as long as it's not against the rules, then technically they're not, quote unquote, doing anything wrong.
Like, we'll talk about sandbagging at some point and what that actually means, because a lot of people have varying degrees of what they feel like that means. But in general, if you are going from a much smaller competition to a much larger competition, and larger competition does not have a rule against recompeting, you're allowed to do it.
Right. Just like if you get, let's say, a non-major award, like an honorable mention, typically, as long as it's not against the rules, it's not frowned upon if you compete again for a category award, like if you want to try to get best novice. But yeah, we'll talk about that more in depth. The other thing, too, is the person that has 15 awards, maybe they went to 15 one-day library events, and maybe the person that has 3 awards went to KatsuCon.
Right, like, quantity doesn't equal quality. So, you know, just because someone has a bunch of awards doesn't mean that they all came from, like, massive competitions or things like that. We don't have a lot of awards because we just don't compete that often.
Right.
I mean, we could have 15, 20 awards if we had gone to a bunch of smaller competitions that were near us and tried to rack, but we chose not to do that. Right. For our sanity.
Well, yeah.
Primarily. That, and I can't make that many costumes.
No, thank you.
Because that's crazy.
No, thank you.
But I mean, our only competition we did last year was internationals.
Yep.
That was it?
That was
it. We did internationals. This year, we'll have 2. We'll have ASEN and we'll have internationals.
Yep.
Because we're going to Spain.
It's true.
It's true.
Now there's a song about Spain.
Which, that will be a whole nother ball game of competing at an international level, which we will cover after we go compete at an international level.
Yes, we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later.
It'll be a good time. I'm excited.
So how do you know where you fit in terms of these craftsmanship divisions?
Ooh, I know.
Yes, Ashlyn.
Read the rules.
Yes, your first step is to read the rules and see how they describe each individual division.
But Elle, what if I read the rules and I'm still just not sure?
Well, in that case, you can then contact the cosplay coordinator and ask for clarification.
Wow, what a great idea!
Yes! It's not that hard, guys.
It's really not. It's really not hard.
It's totally okay to ask. Like, if you feel like you should be in a higher division, or you're not sure, like, you won, you know, best masters and best in show at this one convention that doesn't have a lot of people in their masquerade, and you want to go to something bigger like Colossal Con or Anime Central, just email their cosplay coordinator and ask them, what division should I be in?
These are what I've competed in before. These are the awards that I've won. If you've competed with this specific costume or this specific performance, be sure to include that information so that they can tell you appropriately, because sometimes that'll determine it. So if you read the rules and you think that you should be technically in a lower division than you qualify for, just ask. If they say it's fine for you to enter in novice instead of journeyman, or journeyman instead of masters, it's straight from the horse's mouth. They said it's okay. But you're not going to know unless you ask. And make sure that you're truthful and presenting all the appropriate information.
Well, and that also goes for if you're competing in a Comic-Con style competition as well. Like this one at C2E2 that I'm going to try to do, their rules were vast, so you really had to read through them. And it specifically states, if your costume or performance has won an award prior to 2019 or earlier, you may not re-enter it in this contest. So you have to look, because it wasn't like front and center. I had to read through the entire thing. If you're still not sure, again, ask. Like, it doesn't say anything about equal size or not equal size. So maybe you went and won at this really small con. And if you ask their coordinator, they might let you do it again.
Maybe you went to a bar and won their Halloween costume competition. Right. Technically, it's an award, but do they count that against you and they're not going to let you compete after that? It depends on the event.
You just have to ask. I mean, in the end, just ask them because you're not going to know. And that kind of goes for performance, too, because one of the things that I've seen really hurt some people who are primarily performers and not crafters is when they finally decide they want to enter a costume they made and they have all these performance awards and it throws them into masters, which is not fair.
Which, again, it depends on the contest you go to. Some of them have separate skill tracks for performance versus craftsmanship, and some of them, they just lump you all together.
Right. But all you have to do is ask.
Cosplay coordinators are typically very nice. They are here for you. Their job is to put on a good show. They want you to have a good time so that you come back. They want the audience to have a good time. So they're going to try to be as helpful as possible and as accommodating as they can be within the rules of their show. Obviously, if there are specific rules and you're wanting to do something directly against it, they're probably not going to make an exception for that. But if it's ambiguous, or maybe you need like an extension, or you want to know, can I use fan art, that sort of thing, just ask. They're going to give you a straight up answer one way or another.
Well, like the simple things, I'll tell you what I had to email C2E2 because I read through all the rules and I still wasn't sure. So I knew craftsmanship was required. I also knew there was no prejudging. So I was like, a what? How does that work? Do I need to bring work in progress photos? Do I need to bring a reference? So I emailed them and they were like, well, you can if you want to, was basically the response. You're going to get drive-by judged when you're backstage. Okay, great. Then I wanted to know, can I bring a set piece? And do I need to bring somebody to help me? And their answer was, you can. You just need to make sure all your stuff is off stage before the next person. So I think you're going backstage with me because I think I have to bring somebody. Okay. I think. And then, as I mentioned, I'm having trouble cutting down my file. So I emailed them to see if I could get an 8-second extension. Now I don't know yet. And I could have continued to try to pull my hair out this morning as I was trying to cut this file down. But what is it going to hurt me if I ask them? The worst they're going to say is, no, it must be 90 seconds. And then I have to keep working on my file. But I wouldn't know if I don't ask.
Yep.
And we have been doing this for 20 years and I am asking questions.
Well, that's because you're not a mind reader.
But it's okay to ask them. And I think a lot of people feel like they can't ask questions, whether because they think that the coordinator is going to think they're dumb or something and it's going to hurt their score later. Or I think a lot of people also think that when they email the con, the judges are the people reading the emails. No. It's never the judges, guys. Unless your cosplay coordinator is a judge, which happens sometimes.
But rarely.
But very rarely. Your judges don't get any of your info until the day of the con. Your judges are not looking at your questions. Your judges have no freaking idea what you're doing or what you asked that cosplay coordinator.
Well, and ultimately, as a judge, I would rather know that you asked for an 8-second extension so that if I happen to notice that you went over on time, I don't have to disqualify you for going over on time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when they come to talk to me for their like 30 seconds, if I get an extension, I'm going to hand them the email and go, oh, hey, by the way, I got an 8-second extension. So that they know that I'm not cheating. Because they will find out if you are cheating. We will do an entire episode on the adventures that we've had of people trying to cheat during cosplay contests.
It's so vast.
There are so many of them.
Don't do it.
And it's like, why? Why are you trying to cheat? This is supposed to be fun.
Yep.
Like, I don't understand.
I could go off on a tangent, but I'm going to keep it for that episode.
We're keeping that tangent for an entire episode.
Yes.
So we're not going to use it right now.
Howdy.
Boy, howdy, do we have stories for you about people cheating during cosplay contests.
Yes.
So many.
So many.
So many stories.
So many stories.
It's so sad. So in the end, like, why? Why do this? Well, I think the best illustration of why is when we won an award at ColossalCon when we weren't competing.
That was actually fairly fun. Yes.
So last year, we did not compete at ColossalCon because the year before we'd won Best in Show. And so we decided to take some time off, and we were also working on internationals.
That's one of our other things, is we always, even if we plan on revisiting a show, just out of like respect for the process and the other contestants, we don't like to do back-to-back. But we did have a lot of friends who were competing.
Oh, yeah. So we decided instead to help all of our friends compete. Our friend Lorire, who you would probably remember from the first episode, who runs the cosplay competition at Anime Iowa. By the way, our contract is currently being written, so we will be back.
Yes.
We don't know if we'll be on main stage, but I think we'll have green M&Ms.
Oh, good.
And I'm pretty sure we're bringing a refrigerator.
Yes.
So, FYI. But she competed as Katarina from Trinity Blood. Yes. And did a performance to God Help the Outcasts from The Hunchback of Notre Dame. So we were dressed as maids. Well, that conveniently worked for all the other people that we helped, because we basically stage made for three or four other performances.
While we were dressed as maids.
Yes.
So we helped people take their set pieces on. We helped one of our friends with their walk on carry their costume across stage so that it would billow out.
So all through this masquerade, like we know the MCs. We've known Zach in particular since I was like 13.
Yep, it's been a while.
You know, Zach's getting a kick out of seeing us continually come back on the stage. The stage manager is like, you guys are going back on stage again? You're with them now? And we're like, yeah, we're just helping. So we just kept going on stage. And what happens at ColossalCon is Zach and Jim, who are their MCs, who are hysterical, bring like joke awards every year to ColossalCon to give out to random entries.
Yep.
There's no like qualification for these awards. They just give them out to whoever they want. So we are helping, I believe it was when we helped Paragon on stage.
Yes, we took Paragon on stage to accept his Best Overall Craftsmanship Award.
That's right, because we also came back with everybody to help them get on stage for their awards, because then everybody we helped also won awards.
We're not so saying
we kept coming back.
We're not saying it's because of us.
Good luck charm. But we kept having to come back on stage.
We probably made it on stage
six times at least.
Six or seven times.
Yeah.
I'd have to count.
Well, because we had to go on with Lorire twice.
I think we let her go by herself the one time.
Did we? We had to help escort her over there, though.
Oh, yes.
Because of her cape.
Yes.
We didn't go on stage with her, though. But we go on stage with Paragon, with his massive cape. And as we're trying to leave, they let him leave, but don't let us leave.
They don't let us leave.
And we're like, what?
And Lady Ava just kind of looks at us like, you thought you were going to get out of this, didn't you?
And we are confused.
Hi, everyone. Elle here. So we actually got permission from Deathcom Media to play for you the actual audio from the ColossalCon Masquerade. So what you're going to hear next is the speech that was given at the ColossalCon Masquerade 2019.
Wait, hold on. Before we all walk away, there's something that we also wanted to just bring focus to, which is really important. When it comes to performing on stage, sometimes it takes a lot of extra help in bringing up props, having people hold up little effects and other things. And we couldn't let you all just leave without thanking you guys for stepping up and becoming stage maids and stage maid handlers and helping like 3-4 performances without being asked. Without being asked. This really embodies cosplay community, like, to step up and help without being asked. That's amazing. So thank you. Thank you so much for being awesome people.
Wholesome content.
And we got a floppy disk.
We did. We got a floppy disk with photos of Zach and Jim on them.
I'll put the photo up on the Instagram. We never did see what the photos look like.
No, we haven't.
We haven't. We should do that sometime.
At some point.
But this is why we compete. Even though it's crazy. Even though it's stressful. Like, what he said on that stage is why we still do this 20 years later.
Yes. I just love like the friendships that we have formed. I love the friendships that we have formed in this hobby, this crazy hobby, this stressful hobby that we have. And as I had mentioned previously, Elle and I met doing cosplay competitions, and there are so many other people we would have never met if we hadn't competed against them. That's how we met Lariri cosplay. That's how we met Wigwig cosplay. There are so many people that we met and have relationships with outside of cosplay because of doing this crazy thing together at the same time.
Well, and that's why we're hoping, I mean, our ability to compete at multiple cons didn't work out the way that we wanted it to this year. Because, well, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong.
Usually.
And we just have had too many things get in our way that it looks like Anime Central is going to be the only one in the United States that we get to hit this year.
This year.
But you never know. We might randomly make something and show up somewhere.
It's true.
It could happen. But we are trying to not stress ourselves out about it so much because we were getting to the point where we felt like we could only compete if we made, like, the perfect costume. Like, it had to be bigger and better than the last one we made. Bigger and better performances. Fancier. Way over the top. Which ended up leading to us going over a year without being able to compete.
Right.
Because you can't... Okay, some people can work at that level. I can think of one duo in particular. They can work at that level.
Ain't nobody else got time for that.
But we cannot work at that level.
I don't have that much free time.
No, our lives don't let us churn out that high quality of content that frequently. But if we became more okay with not worrying about whether or not it's the perfect costume to take to a contest.
Maybe it's just a costume.
Maybe it's just a costume with a silly idea.
Yes, maybe it's just a silly skit that we want to do that we definitely don't think is going to win anything, but we just think it would be fun to do on stage.
Which means we should totally do the story of Robin Hood on stage.
Oh, goodness.
I want this in my life.
I mean, that could be a good time.
I'm currently working on a human version of Alan a Dale, which is the rooster from Disney's Robin Hood.
Yes, it looks a lot like Jeske.
Yes, it is. I totally based that design off of that.
As you should.
Because I also want to be him. Because I am him.
Yes, please.
I am him. Toss a coin to your witcher.
Oh, valley of plenty.
Now it's going to be stuck in all of your heads.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. He speaks to me on a deep personal level.
Does he?
Yes.
Oodalali.
Oodalali, oodalali, golly, what a day.
But yes, that would be the perfect example.
Yeah.
It's like something silly just to do just because.
We just want to do the thing. So yes. We're going to go do the thing.
Well, and ultimately, that's kind of why we decided to step away from doing the crazy is because we just want to do the thing. So if that means making a less ridiculous costume so that it can actually get done to the level of our standards that we currently have for ourselves, maybe not the crazy detail of some of these other ones like 10,000 rhinestones, but maybe it's finished and it fits and every seam is perfect and that's fine. It doesn't have to be the most elaborate costume every time. Right. And we just have to tell ourselves that so that we can teach ourselves to kind of tone it down a little bit.
That's the hard part, is we have to be okay with it not being the giant monstrosity that we're used to making.
More.
Well, and it's one of those important things to remember that, you know, no one's owed an award and no one's guaranteed to win an award. So one of the other reasons we also stopped competing was every time we would post something about maybe competing at a con or posting that we were going to a con and people were assuming we were competing, we would get a bunch of messages going, oh no, now I don't want to do the contest because you guys are coming.
But we want to play with you.
Like, we want to come have fun with you guys. Like, we're not here to intimidate you or anything like that. Which is why we feel totally safe going to Anime Central because nobody cares if we're at ASUN.
No.
ASUN's massive. It's a free-for-all of talent.
Yes.
Like, nobody cares. But, you know, we stopped competing at conventions because we were afraid that we were keeping people from competing.
And we didn't want to be those people.
Yeah, we didn't want to be those people.
But
now I'm kind of in this mindset where bring your A game. Like,
yeah, if you didn't know that we were coming or that somebody else was coming, you're still going to need to bring your A game anyway. So if it wasn't us, it could be somebody else. And we're not guaranteed an award just because we show up. That's nobody's guaranteed an award. Everybody has to do their individual best. Judging is subjective, like we've talked about. It could completely, you could have the exact same contestants doing the exact same set of walk-ons and performances, and two separate sets of judges would give them entirely different awards. It's just the way that judging is.
I mean, if you're going to go into it going, so-and-so is coming, so I'm going to lose, so it's not worth it, then you probably weren't competing for the right reasons anyway.
Right. Not to mention the fact that we get that a lot from people in the novice and journeyman category. We're not even directly competing against you, except for maybe one or two awards, because every convention that we go to typically has categories or skill divisions. So if we're competing in masters, we're not competing against you for best novice or best journeyman. We're only competing for against you at that point if a best in show, if there is one, possibly a best performance, because we typically do performances. But even then, some conventions split their performances up into division levels, in which case we're really only competing for best overall against you and not everything else. There's still so many other awards.
Like Anime Central's a good example. We have to compete in group, which I have feelings about the division of group. But we are not competing against the other masters cosplayers because we have to compete in the group division. There is no best in show. The only thing we can win is best group and performance. That's it. That's it. We can't win best masters or novice or journeyman, because if you have more than one person, you have to enter in group, regardless of whether you are a novice or a master crafter. As you can probably tell, the group division confuses me, but it's the way they've been doing it for years.
And there are other conventions that do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's multiple conventions that do group. I've just never completely understood that division. I'm guessing it's they feel it's more fair because you had more hands in the pot.
Maybe.
Versus a solo person who had to do everything themselves.
Well, and I've seen some that do solo divisions and group divisions, which is a little bit different, where you'll have a group of masters
or a
group of journeymen or a group of novices. But this is just group.
Well, like that's how this contest at C2E2 is divided. Solo is one track and group is another track.
Yep.
So there's a best overall, but then there's like multiple solo awards and multiple group awards. Fair, given the type of competition that it is.
And the time limit that they have.
And the time limit for what it's
put forth.
Leave me. Oh.
3 weeks.
And 90 seconds.
3 weeks.
I know. Really, at this point, we're down to 12 days.
12 days. But if you go to a contest and you're, I won't say pissy. I will say pissy. If you're pissy that somebody's coming to your contest that you compete in and you deserve awards at, you should probably rethink that, because you're not owed anything. And as a competitor in a contest, I want the contest to do well. I want the show to be good for the audience. I want to support my other costumers. I want our local community and competition community to grow. And the only way that's going to happen is by encouraging others to participate in the contest. It would be boring if everybody that entered won an award.
Well, that also goes for being publicly pissy about your judges, too.
Yes.
I mean, yes, in some circumstances, every once in a while, you will have bad judges.
It happens.
It happens. It's only ever happened to us once. But you will, on occasion, have bad judges. You want to complain to your friends about it? Okay.
Do not bash them on social media. That is rude and unprofessional.
Like, I get that you might need to get it out, especially if you have some really unfair things happen to you.
If you have specific complaints about a specific contest, speak to the convention.
Wait, what? We're going to contact the cosplay coordinator
again?
We're
going to contact the cosplay coordinator. And if they don't respond to you, just like any other situation, you need to follow the chain of command and contact somebody else at the con. If you have a bad experience, and that goes for any bad experience at a convention, not just with contests. If you have a bad judging experience, if someone is rude to you, if somebody makes inappropriate comments, and you have a poor experience because of it, give feedback to the convention. Do not start a public witch hunt on social media. Get a hold of them, tell them what your concerns are and why, and let them handle it. Maybe they didn't realize that somebody wasn't judging you and they were on their phone the entire time during your appointment. Maybe they don't know.
Well, and in a lot of cases, you'll also have one of those feedback forms, whether it be specifically for the contest or for the convention in general. So when we had a similar issue, we reported our issue through the feedback form, and so did others who had this issue. And then it was addressed by the convention for the following year. You know, we didn't go onto our social media and bash these people and bash the convention.
You'll also notice we're not saying the name of the place.
No,
because it's irrelevant at this
point. It's irrelevant. I'm not going to say the persons. I'm not going to say the convention because that's not important. What's important was we had a negative experience, but we handled it appropriately to make sure that it didn't happen again to somebody else.
Yes. And the convention took our feedback. They learned from the experience, and the following year, the issue didn't recur, which is ultimately the goal, because you want the convention and the competition to get better each year, and providing that constructive criticism and that feedback is the only way that that's going to happen.
And a bad judging experience doesn't mean that you lost, and then, therefore, your judges were terrible.
Right.
Which we will talk about when we talk about our more specifics in what goes into being judged and all of that information. But we do see a lot of people immediately following a con when they lose, going to social media and going, well, the judges just hated my costume, or the judges didn't know what they were doing. They didn't understand anything. I don't understand how I lost. Just accept it.
It's not about you. It's about everything that shows up, not just about you. I can 100% absolutely adore everything about your costume, and it still not win an award. It happens all the time.
Because again, it's about who shows up. So if a ton of really high quality people show up, you may have equally as high quality of a costume. You may still lose because the contest was such high quality.
Yes.
It's just how it goes.
Yes.
And you gotta accept it.
We have gone plenty of times into masquerades not knowing who was gonna end up with what award.
I prefer to go into a masquerade, see the room, and go, ooh, we might not win.
I know. It's exciting.
Because that means it's a good contest.
Right. And I want to go out and talk to those people. I want to go find that person that I think that is going to probably be us and be like, hey, I think that you're amazing, and I hope that you win today.
Make friends, not war.
Absolutely. But as a judge, there have been plenty of times where we've come out of the judging room after our initial deliberation before the show, where we've kind of gone over all of our craftsmanship notes and gone, man, it's still anybody's contest at this point in time. It's going to depend on what happens on stage.
Which we will talk about how sometimes tiebreakers end up being what you do on stage.
Yep.
In another episode.
In another episode.
In another episode.
In another episode.
But in the end, you know, don't get so hung up on this award stuff. Like, go to have fun.
Yep.
Meet, you know, make friends.
Network. Meet people.
Oh, I miss the networking part. Like, we haven't been able to do that because we haven't been doing competitions.
I love going in and saying, wow, I think that's really cool. How did you do that? Or where did you get this material? Because that's your best resource, are the other people in the room. If you want to know how to do something, you know that all those people in that room are as crazy as you are and made their cosplay costume. So go up and ask them, hey, how did you do that? That's really neat.
I mean, our nice happy medium is actually emceeing. When we emceed at Anime Iowa, we got to run around to every contestant, largely because we also had to check in for their, you know, their intro and everything. But then we got to ask them things about their costume, and we got to ooh and ah over their costumes because we got to be backstage again with the contestants, not in that intimidating role of the judge.
Yes.
Because a lot of contestants are afraid of you when you're the judge.
Yes.
But when we MC, like, it's kind of the best of both worlds because we're not competing, so no one's intimidated. But we still get to be backstage and hang out with everyone.
Yes.
So we still get that benefit of getting to, like, network and talk to everybody without having that roadblock of, like, people not wanting to talk to us because we're competing against them. But in the end, just go and have fun.
Go and have fun. Make some new friends.
And remember to read the rules.
And if you have a question, talk to your contest coordinators. They are your number one resource.
So again, that is, make friends, read the rules, email your contest coordinator. If you remember anything, remember those three things.
It seems pretty legit.
Seems pretty legit.
I think we should wrap it up for today.
I think we should, because I need to get to work on my own competition.
Right, in 12 days.
In 12 days.
In 12 days. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I'm Elle.
I'm Ashlyn. We're Lavi Cosplay.
And this is Should Cosplayers Say. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Should Cosplayers Say, an LVC production. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at PodcastSCS. Our website is lavicosplay.com. Have a fun, crazy con or cosplay-related story, absurd cosplay question, or just something in general to share with us? Email us at podcastscs@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, just because you can, doesn't mean you should.